Amen. Amen. Well, as you can turn me down just a little bit. As what Carter said, preacher's not here this morning, so I get the opportunity to share the word with you. But you guys missed it early this morning. We didn't have any hymn singers, so I got to sing in front of everyone that showed up this morning. You see that they're not here for a reason now, so I think I scared them away. But no, it was a wonderful morning. It was my first time preaching that early. And I tell you what, it's really hard because I'm not much of a morning person. So this 11 o'clock service, I get as much time as I want. I don't have to sit there and say, well, I got 45 minutes and I got to... Sounds like I'm speaking in tongues. But this morning, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to see your guys' smiling faces. If you have your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 27:1. This message, it's short, sweet, and simple. But don't be scared. I got 7 points. They're short points, but they're basic points. If you guys, once we read this, just this first verse, you'll say, "Wow, this is pretty simple." But before we read today, I just want to, while as I was going through, preacher asked me to preach this morning, and it was whatever, a week or two ago, and I was excited. I said, let's do it. This is what I'm called to do. But I didn't have nothing. The Lord hasn't laid anything on my heart. And as I was praying and reading, the Lord gave me something. Well, this past week, I dropped off a check for the flooring people that's going to be doing our flooring at the end of this month. So we're going to have a cool new look over in the fellowship hall. So be excited for that. But anyway, they were doing road construction on 68. They were putting the rumble strips in the middle, and I got stuck behind them, which it took me an hour to get to Wilmington. It took me about 2 hours and 10 minutes or so because it was just, I have road rage, for the ones that don't know. But so I said, well, I ain't taking that all the way back because I'm not spending my whole day just sitting behind the roof, whatever, the rumble people. So I took 73, and, you know, it was about lunchtime, and I had to stop and get me some food. You know, some good old Raising Cane's, that Cane's sauce. Some of you guys say I hate Cane's. Well, it's not my favorite, but, you know, I like food. But so I got food, and my old boss, I used to work at Goodwill. She works about two or three places down from there at the Centerville Goodwill. And so I stopped in there and said hi. And, you know, I used to be a supervisor, and so she was sitting there showing me around the store. If you like Goodwills and go there and shop, they're going to be shut down for 2 weeks. So just giving you guys a heads up so you don't waste gas to get there. But we were sitting there just talking, and I was telling her, hey, I'm preaching this Sunday. If you have time, whatever. Come, you know, hear the word and all that. And we sitting there started talking about some people that always came to Goodwill. Always worked the morning, had to be there by 7:30, store opened to 8. And we always had our regulars, about 20 regulars. How many of you guys sit at Goodwill right before they open? Okay, you guys are normal. But we had about 20 people that literally lined up right outside the door until we unlocked it. And it was like Black Friday. As soon as you open the door, it was like you got to move because they were just going. And so those 20 people, eventually I got to know their names. And I got to, you know, get to kind of know who they are and what they do and all that. And we're sitting there just telling some old stories about, you know, what they did, if they're still around, if they come visit. Because this was in Wilmington. Well, fast forward the story. We started talking about old employees that worked with, wonderful. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved working at Goodwill, but I started my career in electrical and all that. But as soon as I started my career in electrical, you know, me and my old boss would stay in contact every once in a while because she didn't want me to leave. But obviously, money was more important because I wanted to move out. And so she told me that, you know, she found a person dead in the store right before they closed. It was Halloween night. How scary is that? And then a few months later, this old regular, older lady, I can't remember her name anymore, but she came in to shop her regular shop. It was early in the morning. Well, boss lady, obviously, we always would talk to them and say, hey, hi. And then she would go up to her office, and I don't know what she, I mean, obviously she worked, but I don't know what all she did. Well, she gets a call over the intercom and says, hey, can you come down here? We got a person that died over the cash register counter. It was that same old lady that came in, and rewind a little bit, 2 hours before that, she went to the doctor's to get her whatever yearly or monthly diagnosis, whatever, to make sure everything's okay, doing fine. And the doctor said, it's fine. Fast forward 2 hours later, she's found dead on the cash register. And so today, my message title is, If This Was My Last Day. Again, this is something simple, it's sweet, but at the same time, it really convicted my heart, because what are you doing today? So if I can have everybody stand in honoring God's word, if you're able, we're just going to read this simple verse, Proverbs 27:1, and it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for they know us not what a day may bring forth. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful morning. Thank you again for this opportunity just to be able to read your word. And Lord, I ask that you just speak through me, that you would open up people's hearts, and Lord, that you'd speak to them. Lord, that I wouldn't say nothing more, nothing less. Lord, that it's only you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Maybe see you. So, if Jesus doesn't come back soon, every one of us will face death. You know, some of us might have family members that maybe you know that they're dying. Maybe they know when they're going to die just because... Oh, boy. Okay. Well, let's pray real quick then. No, you're good. Let's pray. Lord, again, we're here. Lord, we just got the crazy call, Lord, that the song leader collapsed Phil. Lord, I ask that you just be with him. Lord, that you would just, whatever's going on, whatever happened, Lord, that you would just be with the family. Lord, that we don't know what's going on, but you do. And Lord, I just ask that you would just ease their nerves. Lord, that you would just calm them. Lord, that you're in control. Lord, whatever does happen, that we can still praise you for. Lord, I just ask again that you just be with Phil, be with the church family, be with his family, be with his friends. Lord, that they'll continue to pray. Lord, again, that whatever happened, that you would heal them. And Lord, we just love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. It's kind of crazy because that goes with today's message. But again, just think. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. Hebrews 9:27, it tells us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. James 4:14, a lot of you guys know this. It's clear. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be the morrow, for what is life? You have your Bibles open to that verse. It's a question mark there. What is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. And again, none of us knows when that time comes. I've thought so much this past week about how uncertain death is. Not everyone has the opportunity to know when they will die. Many people die after being sick for a long, long time. They have hospice at the house and family gathered around. They have a lot of time to think and plan and prepare for it, but many people do not. Our text this morning, Proverbs 27:1, it's clear. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You just never know. Again, this morning, it's just something so simple, and you think there's older people in here, there's mid-aged people in here, there's younger people in here, and then there's babies in here, and we just never know. We take life so granted. We say, oh, we get a whole list. I was at my in-laws yesterday, and believe it or not, I was like, wow, my mother-in-law has a honey to-do list just smacked right on that refrigerator just for my father-in-law to do, and I was trying to add to it for him. But you think, you make all these lists, what you're going to do tomorrow and the next day. Some of you guys might have calendars, because we have one, saying we got a doctor's appointment this day, I got side work this day, we got something to do this day. And just think, we don't know if we're even going to get to them. So, my question here is, If it were your last day, what would you do? It's a hard question. As I sit here thinking of this, there's a lot that you could do. There could be worldly things that you want to do. There could be godly things you want to do. Maybe it's family things you want to do. Maybe it's personal things you want to do. But what would you do if it was your last day? I notice how many stories in the Bible where people were on their last day. What they did, what they lived, things that were important to them on their last day, it stirred me up, it challenged me because, seriously, it made me search my heart because this could be my last day. I'm only 28 years old. I say young. Some people say I'm old because my knees crack, my back pops, my elbows hurt. You know, last night Megan says, I don't want to hear nothing tomorrow because if your body hurts, I don't want to hear it. Because I was doing somersaults, I was rolling, you know. And my shoulder feels pretty good. My back feels pretty good. Right now, it might catch up to me tomorrow. But you think, we got all different age groups in here, and you just don't know. First thing I want to look at here this morning is, if this was my last day, I would like to be like Enoch. I'd want to spend it walking with God. Genesis chapter 5, you don't have to turn here. They're going to be on the screen. We're going to be turning a lot. There's going to be a lot of verses, but there's going to be one specific passage I want you to turn to. But Genesis chapter 5, it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, it's an amazing thing to sit here and think about that, you know, being saying, man, this person never does anything wrong because he walks so close with God. Imagine, snap of a finger, boom, God takes you, and having that on your headstone, he walked with God. One thing is clear to me is Enoch had no idea on this particular day that it was going to be his last. Even Enoch didn't know. He walked with God so much he still didn't know. But he just got up and did what he always did. He walked with God. One day while he was walking with God, he never went back home. Here's a quote from Leonard Ravenhill. It says, smart men walked on the moon, daring men walked on the ocean floor, but wise men walked with God. You and I, everybody in here, we should spend every single day walking with God because it might be our last day on earth. You know, walking with God, I didn't even realize that I didn't put two together until this morning as Sunday school was, is that, you know, walking with God, it's not easy. They say that there's going to be people that's going to make fun of us. There's going to be people that says, your God is stupid. We see there again, this is on, you know, my notes. But we see in Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they told Nebuchadnezzar, says, I'm not worshiping your king. He says, I got my own true God, a living God, and that no matter what, I'm going to worship him, and I'm not going to sit there and break my neck and my back's in here looking at your 90-foot whatever statue. I'm going to worship my own God. All the trials that they went through, they said, you can throw me in that fiery furnace, and no matter what, I'm still going to worship my God. We see here that walking with God isn't easy because we see that those three, they said, no matter what, we're going to walk with God, and if we get thrown in a fiery furnace, it doesn't matter because we love our God. Imagine walking so close to God that when somebody comes at you, they ended up getting saved. Imagine the person that says, well, I'm an atheist and I don't believe and yada, yada, yada. But if you're walking so close to God, that person turns back and says, wow, you believe in something. Just imagine walking with God. Some of you guys never walked with God. Some of you guys don't even know where God is. You guys are walking all by yourself in this weary little path, and then you look back and you're like, man, where's God at? Because you're with the world. So just think, if you walk so close to God, amazing things can happen. I cannot imagine a greater thing to be said at my funeral than that I walked with God. I cannot improve on the company or the conversation or the companionship. You know, there's a lot of things that we could do in this world. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of cool things. I'm a tool guy. I like to buy all new tools every time I see something. But, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'd rather buy stuff for the kingdom of God than stuff in this world. Point number two here is, if this was my last day, I want to be like Jacob. I want to spend it commanding my family. Genesis chapter 49, we're going to jump around here. We're going to go from verse 1, verse 2, verse 28, and verse 33 here, and you'll see why in a second. But it says, "And Jacob called his sons and gathered and said, 'Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days.'" Verse 2 here says, "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." Skipping down here to 28, it says, "All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them." Skip down a few more verses to 33, and it says, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people." Don't get me wrong, Jacob made many mistakes in his life. He's not the most perfect person. But we see here that there's no question that he made mistakes. But you have to give him credit that on his last day on earth, he gathered his family around and blessed them and he commanded them. Verse 2 tells us that he gathered his sons around and told them to hearken unto him. And guess what they did? I can't think of anything greater than to live a life where my children will stand around my deathbed and be still, be interested in what I have to say. You know, I don't want to be that person where, you know, you sit there and you shun your children for doing things wrong, or you push your children and your family to the side because all you're worried about is you. Then you'll be all alone. Imagine here, Jacob's dying, and he had a relationship with his family, and his family still cared about him. So I want to be an influence with my family. I want to be able to bless them and command them and guide them. There's no greater disappointment than to be completely incapable of influencing your own children. You know, sometimes it's hard. You know, I don't have older children. They say the older they get, the worse they are. And right now I'm saying that's baloney because, you know, Braxton, I'm not all the time, but sometimes, man, I'm like, dude, I want to put my head through the wall sometimes. Maisley, I told Megan, I said, if this next one's a girl, because we're not doing seeing what the gender is and all that. We're waiting until the due date. And I said, man, if I get another girl, the next time I am doing a gender reveal, because I don't know if I could do another girl in my life again, because all the crying and screaming. I'm like, oh, buddy. You know, Braxton never really did that. And, it, you know, coming from a guy, his cry was a little cuter than Maisley's. And maybe it's just because Maisley goes, "Mommy, Mommy," at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And maybe that's why I'm not a morning person. But think, is that you got to be able to be an influence on your family. You think going around your family, and again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you upset a family member, when you push them to the side, you're not being an influence. Next thing here, third, is if this were my last day, like Joshua, I want to spend it urging others to serve God. This is where I want everybody to turn to, Joshua 24. We're going to be skipping around here a little bit as well. Oh, wrong way. Joshua 24, we're going to read 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to 14 all the way down to 29 here. Joshua 1, or 24 says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said unto all the people, 'Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in time, even Terah, the father of Abram, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods.'" Little g gods there. You think some of you guys might be serving little g gods. You don't even know it. Some of you guys might, the ones that might be listening online, you guys are staying home maybe because you're waiting for football to come on and you don't want to miss it. No, that's your little g god. Some of you guys might be home because, oh, it's too early, 11 o'clock is too early, 9 o'clock is too early. Well, your bed is your god. You know, we see here that they served little g gods. Skip down to 14 here. Joshua 14, same chapter, 24, 14. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods," again, little g gods, "which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the little g gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other, again, little g gods. For the Lord our God, He is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, in which did those great signs in our sight preserve us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through him we passed. Verse 18, and the Lord drave out from before us and all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. 19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, his voice and will obey. The question is, if this is your last day, will you listen to his voice? So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he hath spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Last verse. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. There's a lot there, a lot of little g gods here. But think how amazing and powerful that our God is. And he says, hey, you got to get rid of those things because I'm the only true God. I can't think of no greater way to spend my last day than to inspire others that our God is real. There's, when I went to school, there was a lot of quotation marks in my eyes as atheist. I don't believe in atheists. I just, they believe in something, but it's not the same as we do. And you know, it goes to the very beginning, is if we're walking close with God and if we're continuously witnessing, no matter what they say, if they say, I don't believe, if they say, I don't want to believe, well, never give up on those people. Always, always pull through. But using my last day on earth to urge people to forsake false gods and to serve true and living God is a powerful way to go. You know, there's a lot of false gods around, right? But just think, is that everybody in here? Obviously, you're here for a reason. You're either here to say, oh, I don't want to be here, and I just want to leave, and I just want to go sit in my bed, and yada, yada, yada. But you guys are here for a reason. That's because you want to serve the true living God. Amen. And that's why. It brings me to my next point here. I want to be like Elijah. I wanted to spend it preparing the next generation. I get the wonderful opportunity to work with the youth. Not teach them my ways, but teach them the Lord's ways. So if 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to read verse 9 through 11. And it says, and it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah spent his last minutes on earth investing in the next generation. You think how crazy our world is and all the quotation marks, thousands of genders that people say that there is, and how all these whatever can't decide whether what kind of bathroom you're going to use or what so on and so forth. But you see here that our next generation is in trouble if us is not trying to help them, guide them, show them God loves you, and quit going through what the world is preparing for you, because the world, all they're preparing for you is just going to the pits of hell. And it's sad to me. He spent his last day mentoring, preparing the next generation of preachers to take the mantle. The older I get, the more consumed I am with this opportunity. I love having the opportunity to teach the youth, to watch them grow. And it's just an amazing thing. Because again, the youth is the next generation. The babies in here is the next generation. The nursery, the kids in the with Jeremy and Christy, they're the next generation. And if we're too selfish to say, they're not my kids, and you know, if they're doing something bad, I'm not going to correct them, there's an issue. So you guys need, including myself, we need to be leading and guiding the next generation. We need to love them. We need to cherish them. We need to say, hey, you know, you're doing the wrong thing. This is the way to go. If older men of God really thought that today was their last day, they'd spend more time on this instead of letting the next generation just fall. I'm amazed that preachers that preach that life is uncertain, but they live like they're going to be here forever. Who's going to take our place when we're gone? If this next generation is, I don't care. Who's going to take over this place when they say, I can't understand the Bible. I can't understand the words. It's our job to say, hey, let's have a Bible study. Let's explain it. Let's sit here and say, hey, this is what this word means. Because, to be honest with you, when I'm sitting here reading, you know, the King James wonderful version of the Bible, and I'm saying, man, I don't know what that word is. Hey, hello, there's Google. Hello, there's the definition page on my, I got a tablet, but even if you have a thesaurus and all that stuff, instead of saying this is too hard and just give up, do you do that with your daily life and say this is too hard and I'm done and I'm just going to walk away? Or are you going to invest in the wonderful heavenly things that God has for us? Amen. Who's going to fill our shoes if we don't wake up tomorrow? We have an overwhelming obligation to pass the torch, pass down the faith once delivered unto the saints. We see here that, just for an example, when I worked electrical, I had my own work van. I worked with my dad for pretty much my whole life. And when my dad left the van, he said, son, you got shoes to fill. All the things that he taught me, all the things that he put me through, it was... Sorry, got me too. But all the things that, you know, he taught me, once I got into that van, I had to, you know, use it in real life. You know, I had to sit there watching him talk to people. I wasn't much of a people person. And crazy enough, my dad taught me. Now I do a little bit of side work on doing electrical and all that, and I see my dad talking to people. I'm like, man, you really treated some of these people wrong, man. I think I got a little better at talking to people better. But we got shoes. They need to fill our shoes. I think if we're not teaching them, if we're not showing them the godly way, God's not going to be around much. And you say, well, that's weird. And I say, the reason I say that is, if this next generation isn't going to rise up to preach the Word of God, the true Word of God, the Bible that doesn't take verses out or add verses, then this world is not going to know anything about who God is, because the next generation is going to say, well, this is too hard to learn. Brings me to my next point here. If this is my last day, I want to be like Stephen. I would want to spend it forgiving those that have done me wrong. It's really a hard one to swallow for me, because I'm not, again, you gotta love people from afar. That's what I've been learning. But there's a lot of family members that did something, and then this family member's mad, and I'm not going to talk to that person no more, and turn your back. Be honest with you, that was me. Someone makes me mad, deuces, and I'm walking. But Acts 7, 58 through 60, we're going to see here what happened to Stephen. It says, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes and yet a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Holding grudges and being bitter seems to lose its appeal when you're facing death on it. Some of you guys said, you guys haven't died yet. I'm messing. But just think, laying in your deathbed all alone, because you could never forgive that one person, or the two people, or the three people, or the four people, however long. And then you sit there and think about, if you got more than just one person, I don't think it's really the person's problem, it's a problem with you. It's a heart problem. Think about laying in your deathbed and you have no one around. It's a sad thing to think about. There's no time to spend stewing over the wrongs done you did. Stephen's last words were forgiving and mercy and long-suffering. There were people you may never be able to fellowship with just because you have a grudge against them. Well, I'm mad at that person because that person didn't bring the pie to Thanksgiving. There would be people that you won't want to spend time with. There would be those that no matter what you do, living together in harmony is not possible. But you don't have to live with bitterness and unforgiveness. Forgive them and move on. Again, it's a hard thing to do. I'm the first one to raise my hand. It's sitting there when someone done you wrong and you know they done you wrong. But think, forgive them and move on because God, He forgave you. Yeah. Some of you guys say, God, I promise I'm going to be at church on Sunday. I promise I'm going to, you know, get better in life. Guess what? You lied. Liar, just like we are. You know, just think. If a family member done you wrong, if God can forgive them, so can we. So forgive them and move on. You don't have to sit there and be, hey, bestie. But you can at least say, hey, I'm sorry for calling you a name. And, you know, the Lord put it on my heart. I hope you can forgive me. If not, I did your part. I did my part. But a lot of us, we just can't do that. It's hard. And again, it's because we're in flesh. Next thing I got here. If this was my last day, I want to be like Jesus. I wanted to spend it burden for a lost world. Acts 1, 8, 9. Some of you guys probably know this. Acts 1, 8, 9. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 8 sounds pretty familiar, don't it? The last day that Jesus spent on this earth, he was concerned for those that never heard the gospel. You know, you say, well, I think everybody heard the gospel. Wrong. You know, you think of not just in other countries, but thinking of just in our own yard. Think of people around us. You know, I got this little story, and it really, it kills me. Think about it to even tell it. But you think, for the ones that said, oh, everyone heard the gospel, everyone knows who Jesus is. Well, the story is that not everybody does. And the reasoning is that I got two nephews. I got a 5-year-old nephew that came over to our house. And my mother-in-law was just singing songs and talking about Jesus. My 5-year-old nephew says, who's Jesus? And it really killed me when my mother-in-law told me that because one, is I mean, it's my fault. I can visit my nephews anytime. It's not like me and my sister hate each other and all that. But two, my sister, she knows. But I don't know if she's just part of the, you know, world and just too scared to say something. But just think, a five-year-old boy says, "Who's Jesus?" It's a hard pill to sit there and just swallow. Ever since my mother-in-law told me that, it's always been on my mind. And, you know, trying to get him by himself. I mean, he's just like my kid. They're best friends. Every time Braxton goes over to, you know, my mom's, and he says, "Is Nick home? Nick home? Nick home be there? Nick home be there?" I'm like, "Yes, dude, just calm down." You know, once they get over there, it's like nonstop. Sitting there, they're playing cars. And sometimes they're wrestling. Sometimes they're fighting, whatever it is. But just think, if a five-year-old little boy, and you say, "Well, he's young, and that's probably why." No, that's not why. There's other people's parents that don't know any better, or they're too scared to lose their kid and say, "Hey, there's a thing called Jesus, and he sent his son to die on the cross for our sin so that we can have forever eternity with him." His last words to the disciples were about getting the gospel around the world to every creature. No matter how good we have it, how much we've been blessed, we cannot forget those that do not know. It never ceases to amaze at how people put in their wills. Let me rephrase that. It amazes me how people, what people put in their wills. And the reason I say that, again, I'm not in, don't get me wrong, I'm not in like everybody's wills, but just things I read and things I hear, there'll be things in people's wills like the SPCA Dog Foundation or whatever. That's cool, but that's worldly things. That's not furthering God's kingdom. There's things that, "Oh, I want to put it in there for my grandchildren so they can get a car or go to college." That's nice of you, but that's not furthering God's kingdom. You know, once you die, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. Your money doesn't matter at that point. Further the Lord's kingdom. But Jesus, he spent his last day on earth making sure that the whole world knew that he had died for them. What should we do? Should we just be like the world and say Jesus is stupid, or should we do the same? We should do the same. Last thing here, final point. If this was my last day, I want to be like the dying thief. I want to make sure I was ready to meet God. Luke 23, verse 39 through 43 says, "And one of those malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Fair verse right here. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Key word there is the thief on the cross. Obviously he's done wrong. Thief on the cross. Think of all the things you've done wrong. If it was lying, if it was stealing, if it was smacking, fighting, drugs, drinking, whatever you could think of. We know that Jesus died for that. The thief on the cross, we think of paradise. I can't wait to get to paradise one day when the Lord calls me. But some of us, we don't even know what paradise is. We just think it's somewhere on the beach, which, don't get me wrong, this morning is that if you don't know what true paradise is, when we go in prayer, I'll go in depth. But if this was your last day, what would you do? What does today mean to you? Is it living for Christ? We know that you can't serve the world and God at the same time. You got to choose one or the other. Does one outweigh, God outweigh the earth, the worldly things, or is it the opposite? So ask yourself this. If today was your last day, it was kind of you know, just with the story and with the phone call, you know, it makes you really think. today was your last day. How would you take it? Do you got to forgive somebody? Are you not walking with God? Are you so far from Him you don't even see Him in sight? Are you telling others about who God is? Are you training up other people to get the next generation ready? Because believe it or not, my son looks up to some of you guys. So people look up to you, believe it or not. You say, I don't have anybody looking up to me. I guarantee you do. If I can have eyes closed, head bowed. This morning, this message really hit me. But just one verse here while your guys' heads bowed and eyes closed. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So I ask you, today was your last day. There's only two places you can go. That word paradise, it's heaven. Or there's the pits of hell. You know, think, if you've ever been burnt before, imagine that eternity. Being burnt, hearing all kinds of screaming. It's a scary thing to think about. But there's a few things that you got to know who God is. One is that you got to believe that He says He is. Two, you got to believe that, you know, you done wrong. If it was just something simple as, you know, maybe you're that person that never forgave somebody, well, that's something wrong. Three, that eventually one day you're going to die and you got to make the decision. If today's the day of salvation, that you believe that God sent His Son to die on the cross so that you have eternity with Him, or are you just going to keep shoving it to the side and eventually you're going to put it on the back shelf and it's going to get all dusty? So today, as the music plays, if you say, I never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, if you could just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to sit there and call you out. I'm not going to name you. I don't know everybody in here. But if there's somebody in here that says, I never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, if you could just raise your hand. And for the ones that says, well, I'm already saved. Well, there are 7 points here, and some of them hit me. And if they hit me, if I was the only person, well, amazing for me. But for the ones that are saved, you deal with the Lord as He dealt with you.